15 years ago, I lived on a college campus. I was a resident chaplain, and what that means is I lived in the building where students lived, and I was there as sort of like a spiritual formation presence. Like, I was there, they knew where to find me, anyway, resident chaplain. So one of my coworkers, she was the hall director, one of the hall directors of this big building. There's like 600 students in this building. She gave me this plaque as a gift. I don't even remember the occasion now, but I want to show it to you. This is what it looks like right here. Oh, how pretty. Isn't that a pretty little doodad to put in your house? Pretty doodad. I have moved this thing from Texas to Oklahoma to Georgia, and now it sits in my kitchen where I can lay eyes on it every day. But I have to tell you something. This word doesn't mean a lot to me. I'm confessing. This word hope, it's never really held much power for me. I've always thought of it as more like a wish. Like, I hope I don't catch that thing that's going around. You know? I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope I get home in time to catch the game. Hope the food's good. Hope. For me, it's almost like a throwaway word. Just confessing that it's become near meaningless to me at times in my life. A filler word that just points the way to my desired outcome. Is that how you use the word hope sometimes too? So when Joy and I were discussing this Christmas sermon series, I volunteered myself to talk about hope so that I'd have to deal with it. It makes me uncomfortable, and I'm finally going to deal with it. So naturally, I started with a dictionary, and I asked, well, what do Merriam and Webster think? Let's see here. Let's start at the top. To cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true, to desire with expectation of attainment, of fulfillment. But even after I read that, I'm still struggling to find anything meaningful in this. How is that different than a wish? How are either of those definitions different than a wish, which is defined as to have desire for something? Like, wished he could live his life over. Cannot wish our problems away. Wish upon a falling star. How is hope different than a wish? It all seems so wishy-washy to me, you know. It doesn't sound like something that should direct my life. Hope. I couldn't get a grasp on why it might be important for us. Why is it that hope is one of the four words that the church focuses upon during this season of Christmas? It stands next to big words that I get, like peace and joy and love. For the people that we follow in the first half of the Bible, the Israelites, hope was part of the fabric of their being. If you read the Old Testament, and I wish I had time to walk you through the fullness of their history, but I'm not going to do that today, so I'm going to give you an abbreviated version. These were people who believed that God had told their forebears, "You will be a blessing to the whole world." And yet, they struggled to gain a footing against oppressive governments with bigger armies. They found themselves as the little guy, often in need of rescue. And it was during this long period of being lesser, a period of exile from their homeland under the rule of another, that they began to really hope. And this is the first helpful guidepost I found. Hope is born out of need. Hope recognizes I have a need. The people of Israel were in need of rescue, in need of the freedom to be a blessing. And so their expectation began to grow for God's answer to their need. And this answer became what is called a messianic hope. A Messiah is a savior. The best summation of this hope in the Old Testament is found, at least from what I was looking at, it's found in Isaiah 25:9. And it will be said in that day, "Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited. that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And so now we're beginning to see that the kind of hope described in the Bible is different than wishing well kind of hope. Different than, I hope I don't catch that cold, kind of hope. Because the hope we see here in Isaiah is somehow connected to God's own self. Biblical hope is connected to God's own self. Okay, so take your little paper here. These are just passages from the Psalms about hope. The first is, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 38:15. For I hope in you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Psalm 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. Psalm 71:5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. Psalm 130:5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Psalm 130:7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Psalm 131:3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Psalm 146:5. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, when you go back and you look at each of these, don't worry, I'm not going to read them all over again. Hope, hope, hope. After a while, it just starts to sound like a nonsense word, right? Hope. But when we look at these, hope is always in who? The Lord. Hope is a natural part of our prayer life, of our believing, but it is not hope in a specific outcome. The hope is in God's own self. So, my hope is not in the act of prayer, in the throwing of the penny into the wishing well, nor in any other spiritual ritual of any kind. My hope is not in myself, in my own willpower, my own abilities. My hope is not in my government, nor in any lawmaker or judge. And so we come to the second guidepost. My hope is in God's own self. My hope is God. There are some biblical definitions of hope that I think are helpful to understand here. The first is the word yahal, which means to wait. And by implication, that means to be patient, to hope. The next is this word, saber, which means to scrutinize. By implication of watching, to expect. This is alert hope. Looking for, like watchmen, looking for the morning. And then the last is this word, kavah, which originally came from this word to twist or to stretch, like tension, to endure, to wait, look for, hope, expect. It's like this thing. What is that? It's like a jack in the box. That last word's like a jack in the box. And the tension starts to build because you know at some point this is going to happen, right? But instead of the hope being a mean trick of surprise, what's happening here with God is more like this rubber band, like the tension of a rubber band. Like it's being held. This is what we see in the Old Testament. Like this waiting expectation is like the tension on this rubber band, waiting for it to be let go. That's what biblical hope is. But it is hope like that in God. So this biblical tension has been held for so long from Isaiah, and it will be said in that day, "Behold, this is our God, for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." So this is what's happening in the early parts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the story that's being told, is the tension finally breaking. In Luke chapter 2, In Luke chapter 2, it looks like this. "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." That is this hope, consolation of Israel. This was a term that was being used for that messianic figure, that savior, consolation of Israel. But most scripture translations will not leave this one word where I've left a gap here. They don't translate this word, behold, because it seems out of place. And behold, there was a man. It seems out of place, right? But if you understand the significance of what's happening, it's like the jack-in-the-box has finally popped out of the box. It's like the tension in the rubber band has finally been let loose. And behold, this is how Zechariah was feeling all the time. He had that tension built up because he was a man who had, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen that Savior. The one that everybody had been looking for. Somewhere along the line, he was told, "You're going to meet him before you die." So his whole life became a waiting and a watching. Verse 27 there. "And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law," he's 8 days old, he's a baby, he's an infant, "Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God." So just imagine this. Young couple, new baby, weird things have already happened with shepherds and angels and, you know, people coming to talk to them about how this baby's special. They get to the temple, nobody's really paying them any attention, and then suddenly, like laser beam, Simeon's like, "There he is. Behold." This is what he says. "Now, Lord, you are releasing me, your bondservant, to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The hope of Christmas is not like the hope of getting everything you want. We all know that. The hope of Christmas isn't about being spared pain or suffering. The hope that we are talking about in this season is a person that is no longer some far-off entity that we're waiting and watching for. It is Emmanuel, God with us. Finally, we see that Jesus, hang on a second, Jesus is the springing forth of this realized hope. Jesus is this hope. This is what we get to spend our lives doing, waiting and watching for what God, how God is entering the world right now, right here, right now. This is not a story that just happened long ago, but it is a story that tells us what our future will be. God will be with us. I would encourage you over the next, I'm done, it's short. This word hope for me shifted in preparation for this sermon. It doesn't feel like a wish whenever the hope is God, God's own self. This season we have the opportunity to focus our attention on what God was doing as he entered the world in the form of Jesus. These are big concepts, but this is what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to read Luke 1 and Luke 2, or Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. the beginning of, well, Mark's really abbreviated, but go read these for yourself and ask, how is this hope? How is this hope for me, for my world?